We're back with the Rob O'Donnell Show for the last hour here, 5 o'clock, 5:08 to be exact here, 65 degrees on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download that app at your app store, your Google Play Store, Apple App Store. Download it, go to WILK News Radio, favorite it, and that's all you got to do. Got the rewind feature, can check chapters, go check out the podcast that the show's turned into. You got it all there for you. Again, it's 65 degrees at 5:09 on this Tuesday, May 13th, 2025. So we were talking, I believe it was last week, about the cartels. The Mexican cartels are moving to oil theft. It is their most lucrative non-narcotic enterprise that they have going on. You got to realize, they've taken a hit. Their narcotics are getting seized at record levels. Their smuggling, human smuggling, is all but been shut down. So they have kind of morphed, because they are a business organization, a violent criminal organization at that, but a business organization. Oil theft, tapping into the pipeline, stealing tanker trucks, setting up their own gas station that are huge enterprises. And, you know, threatening local officials, oil executives in Mexico. Well, this one was an investigation that led to our side of the border. And I told you that this was going on. They're smuggling oil in as waste oil and then selling it on the market in the United States when they can get around it. But a United States oil tycoon was busted at a lavish Utah mega mansion, accused of working with the Mexican cartels on a $30 million scheme. Now, once money's involved, you know, it transcends everything. Transcends criminal cartels. You know, there has always been shoddy business people that have, you know, caved to that big payday, be it illegal money or not. But a Utah oil magnate was arrested along with his wife in a dramatic raid on their opulent 27,000-square-foot mansion after allegedly smuggling more than $300 million worth of oil from Mexico into the U.S. with the help of drug cartels, according to reports. James and Kelly Jensen were arrested on April 23rd by U.S. Marshals, who used battering rams to bust through the doors of the couple's $9.2 million mansion outside Salt Lake City. They were unwilling to come out, Assistant U.S. Attorney Michael Hess said of the family, which has deep political ties. Kelly's father, Gordon Walker, worked in the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development under President Ronald Reagan, while her mother, Carlene Walker, was a Utah state senator. So this is a big deal. Did you see this on mainstream media? Was this the headlines in anything anywhere? Now, mind you, the raid took place on April 23rd, but the story's just starting to come out now. You think this would have more legs, right? Just days earlier, on April 17th, the Jensens were indicted on charges of conspired to buy and smuggle more than 2,800 shipments of stolen oil from Mexico into the U.S. as part of an alleged scheme to begin began three years ago, according to the federal indictment. The Jensen's company made payments for the crude oil to businesses in Mexico that operate only through the permission of the Mexican criminal organizations, according to the Fed. Shell companies. You know, this is how these things work, right? The Fed's alleged the family used their ill-gotten gains to buy a new home and cars and moved to seize them as well. Their sons Zachary and Max were also allegedly in on it and were also indicted, though it is unclear if they were arrested at the Mountainside mansion with their parents. Doesn't also say their ages. The family owns and operates Arroyo Terminals, a Texas company that buys and sells crude oil at a property just miles from the U.S. border in Rio Hondo. Arroyo Terminals was raided by federal agents on the same day the family was arrested, with employees being handcuffed and questioned about the business's practices. We don't know about that, one employee told CBS4 News Local after the raid. We're just in charge of unloading the trucks and loading the barges. When it comes to the aspect of knowing where the oil is coming from or what company or what part of Mexico or anything like that, we were always out of the loop, another worker told reporters. The Jensens were detained and taken to Salt Lake City jail, but despite prosecutors' fears of being a flight risk, were back home within days after their attorney argued that they had deep roots in the community and weren't going anywhere. They're active in their church. They're active in their community. They come from a stalwart Utah family, Huber said. In-laws have served in public service for decades, and they don't want to throw that all out the window. Well, the allegations are serious here, so maybe you've already started doing that yourself. Again, these are alleged crimes. This is an indictment. The lawyer disputed the feds' claims that the family refused to come out easily during the raid. Mr. Jensen and Mrs. Jensen's story about that is very different, the lawyer stated, claiming the couple agreed to come out, but that the feds busted down their door anyway. This day and age with recordings and body cameras and home surveillance systems, I think it's going to come out one way or another. And I don't see the feds busting down the mansion gates and doors. I mean, look at the home. There is a wall gate around the house with a service entry that is gated if they were willing to come out. We'll see. The family business was previously accused of buying stolen oil in 2011. In that case, James Jensen was sued by a Mexican government-owned oil company for allegedly traveling to Mexico to buy fuel from cartels. Jensen denied all wrongdoing in that case, and it was dropped 2 years later. After their April arrest, the Jensens were ordered to forfeit all money that they earned from the alleged scheme, along with new cars, a second home, their business, and bank accounts, all worth about $300 million. Both sons have pleaded not guilty. All were also charged with money laundering, spending conspiracy, aiding and abetting smuggling goods to the U.S. They face 20 years in federal prison if convicted. Again, why isn't this more of a story on Nationwide? Last week, it was talking about how the Mexican cartels have moved to oil smuggling, oil theft, because basically what they do is they steal the oil or tap into the pipelines that run into Mexico, and they do their best to smuggle it into the United States, where it goes to companies like this to launder. You are laundering oil. It's the same. It's pretty much the same premise. They're buying it. They're paying through shell companies for this oil, which goes into the cartel pockets. But make no mistake, be this drugs, be this human smuggling, sex trafficking, whatever else it is, this funds the organization regardless. I mean, we've all seen, the mob movies of our era, Goodfellas and the movies there where they're moving fur coats in through the meat locker, or they're getting suit jackets or sweaters, or they're all into their different things to make money. It's all about making money and paying it into the business. Cartels are no different. They're just usually more violent. They rule with a different set of ethos as far as the cartels go in Mexico. And there's just not the Mexican cartels. I was down in Venezuela and Colombia where those cartels were in very much charge there. I remember being at a place that we were working in Venezuela, Caracas, Venezuela, where there was no doubt, a cartel bigwig, an older gentleman, who had several 20-something pretty women around him, had his bodyguards around him, had everyone there. It was just that, this was late 80s, early 90s. It was, what you saw in the movies, but in real life. They do exist. They were there. And here you have the same thing. And the fact that the heat is on, the fact that the government is doing such a good job securing the border. We've just had some of the biggest drug interdictions in the history of the U.S. that are happening on a pretty regular basis now, be it the Coast Guard, be it our Border Patrol, be it the DEA and our narcotics, or the FBI. you know, they're all pretty much working in tandem now to where, you know, it was kind of a crapshoot under the last administration. They weren't given the tools to do their job. They were out there kind of, you know, searching on their own. And if they came across something, great. You know, then the administration would tout it. Oh, look, we got this fentanyl off the street, or we got this, you know, this these drugs off the street, or these fake pills, or this pill press, you know, whatever it may be. But we are taking, make no mistake, because I do track all this. We are taking in record amount of drug seizures from pretty much everywhere and all types of narcotics. It is hurting them so much that they are going to start resorting to stuff like this. You are also going to start seeing, from what I'm told, is you know, the auto theft is going to be a big thing, where cars are stolen here in the United States, high-end vehicles, and they are going to be put in container ships and shipped, you know, to Mexico, shipped overseas again. A lot of them end up in the Dominican Republic and places like that. You know, because once the car is taken and it's put on a container and it's out of here, you know, it's gone. You know, they change the ignition switch and, you know, it's somebody else's car at that point. You're never getting it back. These are the things that cartels are going to resort to. Now, they're afraid at this point, from what I'm gathering from military intelligence, they're afraid to escalate violence-wise because they know our military's involved. You know, part of the reason why there's so much heat there is probably how they track this down. And I would imagine they're going to go after, use RICO statutes to go after this family. The fact that this family was investigated in 2011 and those charges were dropped and now here it is again. You know, yes, these are allegations. Yes, they are innocent until proven guilty. But usually where there's smoke, there's fire. And I don't care how connected the family is. It looks like that, you know, they're not in a good place as far as. But when the other side of the witnesses are Mexican cartel members, you know, unless they have solid evidence on our side of the border, it's going to be hard to get corroborating witnesses and testimony from people because, again, you're dealing with the criminal cartels of Mexico. But, you know, we talked about this last week. I think we are going to start seeing more of this type of crime coming from cartels. The fact that they are hesitant in upgrading their violence when it comes to the border because our military is involved and they do not want the full force of our military to come down. There's already been discussion of allowing our military to deal with the Mexican cartels. There is some pushback from the Mexican government. But if these cartels start upping their violence game, you know, at some point they're going to say, all right, well, it's open season then. And they're avoiding that. And they know better under this administration. And it shows because we haven't seen that there. That type of violence, that type of escalation, especially, you know, when you take $300 million away from someone, you know, they usually get pretty angry. So we'll keep our eye on this. But again, this is a story that we should be seeing on the headline of mainstream news, and we really haven't. So, you know, we brought the story to you, and you heard it here. It's 522 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together.
Thanks, Rob. Yeah, 81 north and southbound still a little slow on the Joe. Also, 81 southbound, some road work to be aware of coming up at the Dixon City exit. That's exit 190. Again, that's 81 southbound. This road work going to start around 8 p.m. tonight, going overnight till 6 a.m. Besides that, 80, 84, 380 Pennsylvania Turnpike moving as it should. If you see a traffic problem, call the jam line, 570-883-7269. I'm EJ Samuel in the WILK Traffic Center with this Pentella Data Internet Traffic Update.
Thank you, EJ. Here's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast. Tonight, cloudy with chance of showers, a low of 58. Tomorrow, cloudy with breaks of sun, on and off showers possible, a high of 68. Thursday, milder with breaks of sun and clouds, some on and off showers again, high of 75. It is currently 65 degrees here at 523, your official weather station, WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show, WILK News Radio. So Senator Bernie Sanders just 30 seconds ago just posted an ad from him. It says, Bernie, Doesn't have a year. He's not running for anything at this point, though some people think he might or may back or be part of, you know, some sort of. But he just posted this on X, and it says here, this is what he wrote. Here's what Pennsylvanians had to say about the state of the Democratic Party. Again, this is Bernie Sanders just posted this on X. Here's what Pennsylvanians had to say about the state of the Democratic Party.
What do you think of the current state of the Democratic Party?
Terrible.
I'd like them to do something.
Yeah, to me, they seem a little bit confused. There's not any real, at least doesn't seem to be a whole lot of leadership.
I'm not happy with the state of the Democratic Party. We need to return the Democratic Party to its roots, unbeholden of the corporate interests and the mega donors and the oligarchs.
This is the worst that I've ever felt about the government.
I think we need leadership. I think that what's happening in this country is so unprecedented and scary, and we're just watching it happen.
I'm done with the Democratic Party until they straighten up and elect candidates the people want.
Honestly, very disappointed at like a macro national level, but I do have more faith in like the younger Democratic politicians and also more local ones.
I think the Democratic Party needs to grow a bigger set of balls and take them down.
I think the Democratic Party needs to wake up and stand up.
An issue that I had with the Democratic Party leading up to this election was them not directly speaking to the people and the working people about the issues of all of us.
What I think the Democratic Party needs to work on is freeing themselves from big money. And I think it's everything falls flat when you have when you're beholden to donors, but then say you're fighting for the working class.
Democrats really need to keep that. They need to pick up like the workers' rights thing again, because you see a lot of loss of support based on that. And then the second thing is really defending people's civil rights and making more progress.
They need to be out there speaking constantly, not just one day or 2 days here and then wait for 3 months. They need to be on there day after day after day, getting that message out.
So that was from Bernie. Bernie Sanders just posted that, paid for by friends of Bernie Sanders, attacking the Democrat Party leadership. It seems to be a lot of that going on. There's this new book out, Jake Tapper, called Original Sin. It's a forthcoming book that's expected to come out on the status of, you know, what they knew about Joe Biden. And how they say in that book that it was totally effed up, Vice President Kamala Harris' 2024 bid to the White House by refusing to drop out of the race earlier. There's staffers, there are people from Biden's inner circle coming out. And again, this is a book by Jake Tapper, where it also comes out that at that fundraising event with George Clooney, where George Clooney was one of the only ones to come out and say he needs to drop out of the race. And it kind of forced everyone's hand. It's out in this book by Jake Tapper, and you could take it for what it's worth. It is Jake Tapper, but said that he didn't even recognize George Clooney, a longtime friend, longtime ally and friend, and did not even recognize him, to the point where you have to give it some validity, because George Clooney came out afterwards and said, you know, he needs to step aside. Something needs to happen here. Then you have this issue where the DNC is moving to oust their vice chairman, David Hogg. Again, in my opinion, should have never been there to begin with. But he was voted in as vice chair. So for the DNC now to just say, well, we don't, you know, you're not in line with us, we're just going to remove you on our own. Is that the right process, too? Is that something that's going on? And you have the attacks on John Fetterman that are coming out. But this book is going to be interesting, because you have people across the nation. Chuck Schumer was just asked today about what did he know about Joe Biden and why did he cover it up? Why was he not more forthcoming that things could have been happened? And all Chuck Schumer, Senator Schumer from New York, kept saying is, we're looking forward. You know, we're not looking back. We're not talking about that. We're looking forward, because they don't have answers. I mean, you have a mayor here in Scranton that's running for re-election, that on this very station many times talked about how vibrant and energetic Joe Biden was and how sharp and, you know, how on things he was and, you know, running circles around people. I have the audio. It's my station. She is complicit in why you have a Trump 2.0, and thank you for that. But don't look at the people of Scranton or Northeast Pennsylvania and say you didn't play a hand in this. You helped cover it up because you thought there was a future there. And then towards the end, you slipped over to the Harris-Waltz ticket because you had no other choice, probably hoping it was Shapiro because maybe you would have stood a better inner circle. But it's you're lying and looking people in Northeast Pennsylvania in the eyes and saying he's vibrant, he's more energetic than ever. He runs circles around me and everyone else. I was just there, you know, had a meeting with him. Yes, these meetings are all on record. They're on video. You touted them. You posted every time you went to Washington, to Ireland, or everything to run with the president. And then lied to the people here in Scranton, lied to the people in Northeast Pennsylvania. And now you're looking them in the eye and saying, elect me again. That's the crisis of the Democratic Party because of people like you who weren't honest with yourself, weren't honest with the people. You were more aligned to the party, not your constituents, not the people who vote for you, not the people you have a fiduciary duty to report to. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, we kind of all knew. I mean, they're talking about staffers were talking about a wheelchair if he actually won. A wheelchair. Because he couldn't get from point A to point B. That's how concerned they were. Now, we knew this would come out. We knew that people would surround, you know, once he was gone and irrelevant. There's also the reports that just came out that, you know, they found a nodule on his prostate. And, you know, again, I do not agree with Joe Biden and anything he's ever done politically. I think he's a nasty human being. He always has been. But no one wants to see any bad health on the guy. He's out of the presidency. He's no longer relevant. You know, I hope it's nothing. I hope when the testing comes back, it's just nothing. But that did break today, that they did find a nodule on his prostate. They do not have any further information. It obviously needs to be biopsied. And hopefully that it's nothing. Hopefully it's fuller, you know, nothing to worry about. And at his age, even if it is, does it really have an effect? You know, it takes prostate's one of the slower growing cancers. So, you know, hopefully it's nothing one way or another. And again, that's just, you know, who we should be. You know, it's just because I disagree with him politically. I think he's a nasty man. I think he, you know, lived off the system way too long, like a lot of politicians. You know, I never want to see anything harm come to them or illness come to anyone. And he's no different. So that was some other news that came out today on it. It's 5:34 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio. So we into the last half hour of today's show. Well, earlier, we reported that Rob Bresnahan bucked his committee on maintaining support for looking to solidify support for the Scranton to New York City Railway. And it doesn't do away with it. It does not do away. It was an extra safety net to make sure that it couldn't be removed later in the process. And again, I like the fact that it should be looked at more in depth, but I appreciate Rob Bresnahan maintaining his promise to the people of Northeast Pennsylvania that he would support this railroad. He would look at it cautiously, but support it, and his vote showed that. Well, here, U.S. Representative Rob Bresnahan of the 8th District is one of dozens of legislators hoping to ban congressional stock trading. It's H.R. 3182, introduced recently by Bresnahan, would require that upon assuming office, members of Congress and their spouses be banned from buying, selling, or holding financial instruments, with the exceptions include a diversified mutual fund and a few other investments. Those in noncompliance may be fined. Now, the exceptions being diversified mutual funds, that's if you have a 401k or an investment in a Vanguard fund or, you know, your Standard & Poor's mimicking Fidelity type account to where you don't really have a say in the different individual stocks. It's a group of portfolio that's managed by Fidelity, that by Vanguard, by these companies that do it without your knowledge, without your control. I have them. You probably have them. Your 401ks, your IRAs, your mutual funds. You know, wherever you're invested in. Nothing beats a good Vanguard or mutual fund or a Fidelity fund. I think my wife has Fidelity. I think I have Vanguard. You know, it's just one of those types of situations where you can't get insider information and say, hey, let's invest in this specific stock. So, I applaud him. And again, this is something overwhelmingly supported by voters, bipartisan of both parties. So let's see if it gets through. This with the term limits, these are things we could all get behind, and we should. It's 5:42 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together.
Thanks, Rob. This Pentella Data Internet traffic update brought to you by Morris Kitchens and Donnelly Designs, LLC. We've got ourselves an accident on 81 northbound. We were going strong, but it is now, as a result, slow in Music and also slow on the Joe in both directions on 81 north and southbound. Also, southbound in the area of that accident in Music, there is some rubbernecking, which, of course, never helps the situation, but does slow it down. Keep in mind also, 81 southbound, some road work to happen tonight at 8 p.m. at the Dixon City exit, mile marker 190, 80-84-380 Pennsylvania Turnpike, looking good at this juncture. If you see a traffic problem, call the Jam Line, 570-883-7269. And I'm E.J. Samuel in the WILK Traffic Center with this Pentella Data Internet Traffic Update.
Thank you, E.J. Here's the storm tracker forecast. Tonight, cloudy with a chance of showers, a low of 58. Tomorrow, clouds with some breaks of sun, on and off, showers possible, high of 68, though. Thursday, milder, with breaks of sun and clouds again, some on and off showers possible, high of 75. It is currently 65 degrees here at 5:43 at your official weather station, WILK. Time for the NEPA Premium Perks. Enjoy this half-off deal for Izzy's Pizza. Get a $25 gift certificate for only $12.50. NEPA's first make-your-own pizzeria. Pizza lovers can unleash their creativity and craft their perfect pie. A wide array of fresh ingredients and toppings. They also feature wings, soup, sides, and desserts. Open Monday through Thursday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Fridays and Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Located at 1610 Naog Avenue, Suite 6 in Scranton, visit GetMyPerks.com for all the details. Here with the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio as we start to wind it down here on this Tuesday, May 13th, 2025. So these are the unwritten rules of being a wedding guest, according to some experts. People don't realize how much depends on this. There are several things experts warn against doing as a wedding guest, or what not to do during a wedding guest. If you want to continue being friends with the happy couple long after they say, I do. According to etiquette guru Joe Hayes, dating coach Emily Thompson, being a good wedding guest goes beyond just showing up and giving a gift. Topping off the lists of don'ts as a wedding guest, now that we're getting into the wedding season, according to experts, is sending in a late RSVP. Don't be one of those people. Listen, you have to understand, and if you've ever planned a wedding, scheduled a wedding, been involved with wedding planning, you know what I'm talking about. You have your table sets, who's sitting next to who, and it changes all the way up until probably the day of the wedding itself. They don't need that extra stress. You're trying to plan this event, friends, family, who could sit with who can't sit with who needs to be closer to who needs to be closer to this table. If you get a wedding invitation, you usually get a save the date. This is not a surprise to anyone. If you don't want to go, if you don't think you can go, if you can't afford to go, make the decision early. But regardless, do not have a delayed RSVP. That is the biggest so far. Late RSVPing is the silent killer of etiquette. It messes with everything from seating charts to catering orders and everything else. People don't realize how much depends on the final counts. And it is. I mean, there's a lot that goes into seating charts and final counts and catering and head counts and what kind of venue even. You know, how many people, you know, did we plan on having? How many people are we actually going to have? They went on to explain that the ceremony is the whole point of the day, where a couple makes their vows and usually in front of the nearest family and friends. You won't come across as a good friend if you skip the nuptials, because not being there sends a clear message that you're here for the food and drinks, but not for the marriage, they explained. So if it's one of your friends, if it's someone close to you, show up to the church service, show up to their nuptials, show up to the ceremony itself, not just the after party. Now, if it's someone you know casually, if it's someone that, you know, you'll probably just be sitting in the back anywhere and not even be noticed for being there, then you make your own decision. But if it's someone important to you, if it's someone special to you, make sure you're there at the event itself. Other wedding guest tip is never to bring a plus one if it's not written on the invitation. So unless it says plus one, don't bring a plus one. Weddings are expensive events to put on, which often means limited guest capacity. So don't overextend yourself to bring someone that wasn't invited. If there was an invitation sent to you, if there was a plus one, they would say a plus one. They agreed your invitation should specify in so many words, end guest, or else your plus one should strictly not be allowed. Sure, open bars at wedding are a fun perk, but don't be that guest who's draining the bar dry. A good rule is to limit yourself to one drink per hour and definitely don't start drinking until after the ceremony, they explained. Now, here's where I stray from this. Listen, the environment of the wedding itself, the group of friends you're with, who's there, whose wedding it is, it's all going to dictate, you know, what the bar scene is going to be at a wedding or not. So I say read the room. There's no set rule when it comes to, you know, limit yourself or, you know, don't be the person draining the bar dry. Read the room. And, if, you know, if you have your party crowd with you, then, hey, that's what the wedding's for. Don't get silly. Don't cause any disruptions. But, you know, have fun. That's what you're there for. As tempting as it might be to get wasted at the wedding, it's never good luck. Sure, enjoy a couple of drinks. Be respectful and responsible. But again, I say read the room. Read the crowd you're with. Know who you're surrounded by. And, you know, you're there to have a good time, right? You're there to celebrate this wedding. Regardless of dress code, as a reminder, women should always avoid wearing white. I just saw this for myself this past weekend when we were down out of town. There was a wedding, and we met for the after party at the wedding. We weren't there. It was friends that were there, and the bride came to the lobby bar of the hotel to say hi, introduce themselves. They were there to see someone else. They didn't come to meet us, but they were there to see. They saw us sitting with family members at the bar. They came up to say hi and was introduced. Now, the bride was in a beautiful white bridal gown for the day, you know, outstanding, you know, 20-something-year-old, you know, young lady, looked phenomenal in her wedding dress. Now, the friend she was with, who was also a guest at the wedding, was not a bridesmaid, was wearing what I would consider an ivory dress, but very much close to a wedding dress itself. Now, it was ivory. It was an off-white type dress, but way too close and to the point where, you know, my wife and I kind of looked at each other and was like, yeah, that was a little awkward. And even for us, and we weren't part of the wedding. So, yes, do not wear anything even close to white, even if it's an ivory and off-white. And it's not the first time I've seen that, but it is awkward every time you see it. Another controversial color is red. Western cultures consider red blatantly conspicuous and would even think it inappropriate if it's dressed too sexy for a formal wedding. Again, I think people should do what they do. Listen, you're going to a wedding, depending on the wedding, depending on the venue, depending on where it is, and you should be tasteful. It's somebody's wedding. You're going there. It should be tasteful. Something experts didn't specify but should go without saying is always bring a gift for the married couple. It's not to be without saying it, but some people actually do show up to weddings and not give a gift. It happens. I don't know if it happens a lot, but I know it happens. So, something to be advised. You're going to a wedding. Again, if you can't afford the wedding, then opt out of it. It's as simple as that. We had 120 people at our wedding, and we received 12 cards and 4 gifts, said one person in this survey. And before you all come, I'm not even saying it. It had to be money, but just a card with a cute message or a prayer. I don't know. I wouldn't show up to a wedding empty-handed. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a big monetary gift. Listen, I don't know anyone in my circles that had a wedding to make money. So if, your friends, people you're inviting to your wedding, you kind of have an idea of their circumstances. If they did something special, if they did something handmade, if they made something from the heart, it is what it is. There's your do's and don'ts for weddings. I know we're kind of into wedding season now, but, end on a little light note here. So don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. Don't bring a plus one if it's not specifically insinuated. And, read the room and have a good time. That's what you're there to celebrate, your friend, your family member, whoever it is, wedding, and hopefully for a long and bright future together. It is 5:56 here at WILK. We'll be back to close out the show in just a minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show. Got a text message on that last story. We talked about the do's and don'ts of wedding season. I got invited to a wedding a couple years ago that ended up being the first day of buck season. I responded back to the invitation that we weren't going to make it before my wife saw it, and then she found out about it, and she didn't talk to me for weeks. Yeah, that's a bad thing. But I hear it. Listen, I know somebody who got married during buck season, not the opening day, but during buck season. And they got a whole lot of ear full during that. But what was good about it is everybody he knew was a hunter, he had some sort of gift for at the wedding on the table where they were seated. Something to do. I forget what it was, but it was something cool. For the hunters in the room because they took a day off the field to come to the wedding. So that's it for this Tuesday, May 13th, 2025. Tomorrow's Wednesday, hump day. We're getting through the downside of the week. And we'll see you with the tomorrow's stories tomorrow. God bless, be safe, and we'll see you tomorrow.